This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Filled with your Holy Spirit, gracious God, your earliest disciples served you with the gifts each had been given. Phoebe as a deacon who served many. Inspire us today to build up your church with our gifts of hospitality, charity, and bold witness to the gospel of Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Phoebe. Happy Feast of Saint Phoebe. She gets preempted because it's Sunday, but today is her feast day. And I think a very appropriate feast day on this Labor Day weekend. All we know about Phoebe is in two short verses at the end of Paul's letter to the churches in Rome. We are reading from Romans these days, and when we get to the very end, she will be mentioned along with some others. She was quite an important figure and is key to understanding Paul's full intent with Romans. She was likely a former slave and a convert from the Gentiles. And in spite of her humble beginnings, she rose to prominence as a free woman. Paul describes her as a benefactor of many, including himself. She probably supported the church in that area around Corinth, even hosting people in her house. And Paul implies that she's functioning as his partner and supporting his mission to Spain. Paul also describes Phoebe as a deacon, which of course in those churches that do not ordain women, this becomes quite a contentious piece of scripture. While formal offices were yet to be established when Paul was writing, the use of deacon in reference to Phoebe suggests that she was not just a financial supporter, but also a leader, using her gifts. Her role would have included preaching and teaching to churches. And Paul sent her as a missionary to Rome. And that confidence that Paul expresses in this woman, Phoebe, is clear because she's the one that's carrying that letter that Paul writes to the Romans. She's not just a mail deliverer. She had the responsibility to read the letter to those congregations and to help them understand what Paul was trying to say. An enormous responsibility. Phoebe, I think, becomes a great example for us as we celebrate this Labor Day weekend of the need for each one of us to know that the gifts that God has uniquely given to each one of us can be used and should be used for the upbuilding of God's people in any way we are called to serve with the dignity of our work. Labor Day for me is especially who labor for us. When we go to the grocery store, somebody is there, if it's not self-checkout, to help check us out. Somebody is there to pick up our trash once or twice a week. Somebody is there to mop the floors. Somebody is there in all of those service industries in which we are partaking that deserve our thanks. So let's remember them on this holiday weekend. But we get to this particular gospel, and in keeping with the Labor Day theme, there are four words that are the most important for any job. Other duties as assigned. You know what I mean? No matter the job we have, no matter the vocation we have, as we look back on our lives, we would probably say, if I had known what I was going to end up doing, I wouldn't have believed it. And maybe without that hindsight of wisdom or the foresight of wisdom back then, I might say, well, maybe I don't want to do that. But we are given the grace and the strength as we grow and as we go along in our vocations. There is a growing in an understanding that's taking place in the gospel today. On August 28th, this past Monday, I celebrated 41 years since I was ordained a priest, granted back in the Roman Catholic Church in 1982. But as I look back on those 41 years, if someone had told me the journey that God would have me on, I don't think I'd have believed them. But all the joys and all the wonderful people that God has brought into my life in those years, a true gift. So we come to this gospel. It's an important gospel for us to link with last week's gospel, where Father William gave that wonderful sermon about that particular confession of Peter of who Jesus was. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, this particular gospel exists also in other synoptic gospels, but in Matthew, it more designates this transition for Matthew in the gospel. Because in Matthew's full version of this, he gives an introduction to it that says, from that time on, Jesus started to talk about what was going to happen. He predicts his passion. It is this transition that he wants us to take what happened last week with Peter's confession and link it, and now we're moving to the next chapter. And if you remember last week, when Peter revealed that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, you remember what Jesus said to Peter? You are, anybody? Rock. You are rock. And here it is. The school thought that perhaps they were leaving us some difficult things. Well, they've left me two sermons. And there's about 30 more rocks out there. So lots of material left for sermons. Rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. This is an important word. Because in that gospel, Jesus uses a word for rock, Pietra, Peter. But this week, he uses another word for rock, scandalon. He calls Peter a rock again, but he calls Peter the kind of rock that people stumble upon. That's where the word scandal comes from. We can be scandalous when we cause people to stumble by what we do or say. And Jesus, with that word play, is making Peter understand that what happened last week has to connect with what happens this week. And it becomes an important consideration for us. Because the important consideration calls for us to take last week and this week together. Last week, the recognition of who Jesus is. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it is only if that is the preface in our understanding are we going to be able to fulfill this week's command to take up our cross and follow him. Because so often, like Peter mistakes this week, He forgets what happened last week. Jesus, no, it ain't going to happen this way, is it? Well, go back to last week where you said, I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if that's the case, then the way I say this is going to happen should be acceptable unto you. And the challenge we have in our lives is so often we forget that. And so we jump to number two, and the crosses that we continue to find in our lives, which we all do, they bring depression, they bring resentment, they can do so many things to us because we forget the first part of it. If this Jesus is truly the Messiah, the living God, no matter what happens, if it doesn't seem like it's working out in the end, then as they say in that movie, then it's not the end yet. This is what happens to us so often. And Peter has this up and down thing as we see in his whole life, that he wants to try to do these course corrections for Jesus. And yet, he's got to remember that if you are truly going to be the rock, it's got to start with understanding Jesus as Messiah. Now, we can take this gospel, I think, and we can sort of use it in the wrong way. That perhaps that, yeah, well, there's going to be suffering in our world and it's all going to be horrible, but in the end, it's all going to work out. And I don't think that's what Jesus has in mind. I think Jesus wants us to understand these two together, acknowledging that, yes, there are crosses we have to bear in this imperfect world, but when we are linked to Jesus, it becomes that which we're going to be able to carry and are going to bring us to that resurrection. Remember the beginning of this gospel, we sort of slide over that, but when Matthew is giving us sort of the capsule summary, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. We forget that part, don't we? We end up caught up in the sufferings and the difficulties that are unique and exist in all of our lives. I don't know if you go back as far as when we did the Word Beyond Words some years ago, and we did this wonderful skit where Jesus gives out crosses to everyone. Do you remember that? And we marched around the church, and everybody was carrying their individually sized crosses until one person said, Jesus, my cross is too big. Can you cut it down? And so Jesus cuts the cross down, and then they march some more, and the person says, Jesus, my cross is still too big. Can you cut it down a little bit more? And Jesus obliges. And they continue to walk until they come to this great big ravine. It was right up here. And you needed to lay down your cross to get across the ravine. And guess what happened to the person who Jesus had cut their cross for them? It no longer stretched from one side to the other. We have crosses to bear, unique for each of us, but those crosses can be the way that we continue to be joined, religion, as I said at the beginning, to be joined with God, to be joined with each other, so that we can move on the journey together. As we celebrate this Labor Day, as we remember Phoebe, maybe it's a good chance for us. Do we really know the crosses that each other are bearing? Maybe it's a good time to go to that person who's your friend or your prayer partner and ask them, what is that cross that you are being called to bear right now that maybe I can pray for you this week about that? I can't think of a better way to celebrate a day off with Labor Day of remembering somebody in prayer in that way. But above all, to not forget last week. We start with knowing who Jesus is and believing that with our whole heart, mind, and soul? And if we do that, then as we go from day to day, God will give us that strength, knowing that He will never leave us to face those perils alone. Let's celebrate that. Amen.